So what do you see here as far as the way that this has taken place, or even scriptures as far as concerning that would apply to this? They saw that they had a son, and they decided not to give him to the Egyptians to throw him in the Nile. But they decided to, after 3 months, they kept him and hid him, and then decided to put him there themselves, but alive. And his sister, she's there far off, but she's where it is. She can see what's going on. What do you see there? Why is this done in this way? Well, I think it's because there's an expectation of good. I believe that, well, I know, because the scriptures tell us over in Hebrews in chapter 11, the reason why this was done in the way that it was done. First, let's see where I'm at. In verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, they kept him 3 months. They trusted in God. They believed in God. By faith, she decided to put him in the river. And so there was an expectation of salvation, I believe. That's why it did this. The sister's there to see what will happen. I imagine that they, you know, in a situation, I think that you and I would be praying that something could come good of the child rather than he just be destroyed. And that's what it is that we see taking place. And so rather than fear, they didn't fear the king. They didn't fear Pharaoh. They hid him 3 months, you know, at the probably putting their own lives in jeopardy, because if he had found out, he may have destroyed the whole family. But they, and this is not the only child, is it? He has an older sister, also an older brother. Matter of fact, Aaron, 3 years older. How did he survive? Probably the midwife. Probably the midwives didn't do what it is that Pharaoh wanted them to do. And so they have two children and they have another one, and they decide by faith, we're going to keep this one too. And they kept them in the house for as long as they could and then put them on the river, watching what would happen. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river and she saw the child. You know, I don't know if they were expecting the daughter of favor. Maybe they were expecting one of the Egyptians. Perhaps. We don't know. It doesn't say. But it happened probably even better than they might have hoped for. But because they had faith in God, God delivered Moses. Not only did he deliver, but when it is that Pharaoh's daughter saw him, she had compassion on him and said in verse 6, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And of course, she knew what was happening to them. You know, they're being drowned in the Nile. At least that's the edict that had gone forth, that they, if they find any other male, that they would drown him in the Nile. It doesn't say that this had already taken place, but because of the faith of these parents, it didn't take place. It didn't happen. And so she had compassion on him. And then his sister, when she saw what was happening, and she was waiting there to see what would happen. And when she saw it, she's prepared. She's ready. She knows what to do. Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women? And she went and called the nurse. And who was the nurse that she called? It was Moses' mother. And I wanted to actually call them by name, their mother and father. They are listed by name, but I didn't write it down. And there's no way I can remember those names. But she called the child's own mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter gives her wages, pays her to take care of this child. So it's just an example of what faith in God can do. And so when we find ourselves in dire situations, hopefully it'd be nothing like this, but when we find ourselves in situations, just put our trust and our hope in God. And if we exercise faith in God, God is going to deliver us. He's going to deliver us. Just like we see so many examples of in scripture. The very best outcome that there could have been is that this Pharaoh's daughter took him and gave him back to the mother. Not only that, but she paid her wages. She paid her to do it. That's pretty good, isn't it? You get a child saved and then get paid, you know, to take care of it until it comes of age. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. She called his name Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. But he's, the way I look at it, he's drawn out of God. God drew him out. This is God's doing. He knows what it is that he wants to do, and he's bringing this about because there's people that are exercising faith in him, and he's ready. He's looking to and fro, you know, throughout all the earth. His eyes go to and fro to show himself strong for those that put their trust in him, those that hope in him. So he became Pharaoh's daughter. And then it says, now, well, let's look a little bit as far as, you know, of in Acts in chapter 7, verse 20. Well, before that, let me go above. My notes are kind of all over the place here, but, you know, just looking at the time of what's happening to the Israelites, in verse 17 of Acts chapter 7, it says, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king rose who did not know Joseph. And so the things that they're going through is because of the time of the promise drew near that God had sworn to Abraham. And so they're going through some birthing pains here to get to this. But God's mind is to bring them out of Egypt. And this is the time. The time of the promise drew near. And they're going through this because they've multiplied the way that God wanted them to. Now he's going to bring them out. Of course, he dealt treacherously with them and caused them to expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. And it kind of seems, you know, it makes me wonder that when, because you think about as far as, you know, you have a child and you're going to save him because he looks good or he's beautiful. But I think the beauty was that there was something about this child that was different. There was something that I think that God caused them to see in this child that gave them the faith because God was well-pleasing. He was well-pleasing to God. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up to her as her son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So he came up as an Egyptian. He was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptian, and he became mighty in words and deeds. And the scripture doesn't give us a lot about that. And of course, we can, of course, you know, take liberty with, you know, the things that what it is as far as the type of man he was, mighty in words and deeds. He was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Did he follow all the wisdom of the Egyptians is the question. He didn't, did he? He didn't follow all that wisdom. You know, there's a lot of wisdom as far as, you know, they were great builders. You know, they could embalm bodies. There's a lot of things as far as you looked at Egyptians that they could do as far as in farming and, you know, and all that sort of thing. But they served false gods. And that's what it is as far as Moses chose not to follow. And so he was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptian, and I'm sure they told him about their deities and the things of people that they worship, but he didn't follow that. And of course, we see as far as in the scriptures, as he writes these books, that his idea of life is quite different than the Egyptians, because God gives him his. He followed the Egyptians. So in Genesis in chapter 2, we see that when God made Adam and Eve, you know, he created Adam, and then he created Eve from the rib of Adam. Now, in verse 23, says Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." It started out as one flesh. Adam and Eve, they were one flesh. They were the same. And then he gives us, for us, you know, and it's so important as far as, you know, that we realize and that, you know, one man, one woman, you know, and not only in flesh, but in spirit. That should be our mind as far as that. That should be our thinking, that we, no other, one man, one woman, one flesh. And of course, the ultimate part of that as far as it comes forth is that the child comes, and it comes, that child comes from the father and the mother. And the Egyptians didn't know that. And their system, that the woman was just like the, like putting seed in the ground, and then it develops. But then not with Moses. Moses understood the God's way, because we see once they had sinned, and he begins to give them the consequences of their sin. You know, he says to the serpent in verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise her your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, some translation of it said offspring, but the word in Hebrew is seed. Seed. Woman has seed. And of course, as far as nobody realized that until it is, they could see that in a microscope. And so it's the one flesh, the man and the woman. And so we see that with the wisdom of the Egyptians, it was contrary. Their science was wrong. It was wrong. That's what they had to believe. That's what had to be taught. But it was wrong. And so many ways that we can find with false religion that they are so wrong because they are not of God. And so he didn't follow all the wisdom. He was learning all the wisdom, but he didn't follow all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He didn't follow all their knowledge and all their science, and their pseudoscience, because it was wrong. And so we are to, you know, we're not to follow all the wisdom of the world. We can learn it, but we know that we are to know when it is that it departs from what God's will is and what God's true knowledge is. And that's what it is as far as with all these religions. And it kind of, and we look at, the evil that people can do to others and taking a life of children. And, you know, just this weekend, some young men, some of them, I think, were teenagers, just shot a house up, just shot at 80 shots, they say, and killed a 3-year-old. Just the evil that people can do. But, you know, that's not to cause us to be depressed, but to think that, you know, hopefully put more in our hearts that we want to teach people the true way of God. Because God's way is, it treasures life. Not like some of these professors or some of these criminals, or even some of these people of the religious people, they don't treasure life in the way that God teaches us to. And so there's a lot of wisdom, even today, that it's not our wisdom because it's not of God. You know, the science, and more science is following, you know, the ungodliness and ungodly ways, and the end of that is just going to be, as far as, you know, just horrendous things like we see here with these people of Egypt. Then their wisdom was, well, you know, we're working these people so hard, but they're still bearing children. Let's kill the children. You know, that was their wisdom. That's their science. And so the time of the promise, but by faith he was hidden. And what a wonderful thing, because he delivered his people. Let's go ahead and go back to Exodus 3:2, I mean. And we see that, okay, they had faith. Pharaoh's daughter, she raised them up as an Egyptian. Verse 11, it says, "In those days, Moses was gone. He went out to his brethren." and looked at their burdens. And it tells us, as far as the faith that Moses has over in Hebrews 11, you know, that he chose his own people rather than all the riches, all the pleasures of Egypt. By faith, he did that. Because it would have taken faith, right, to go to a people who are being oppressed, who are slaves, rather than enjoying the life that you have as a free Egyptian. Learning all the wisdom and mighty in words and deed, but then you choose to go with the people that are oppressed. It took faith. It'll take faith, you know, to turn away from the pleasures of this life and this world, and all that it has to offer, and to choose to, no matter what, just to obey God. And so we see, as he goes out, Acts in chapter 7, you know, as Stephen is reproving this people who are so wicked that they want to kill Christ, so evil. And then, of course, as far as because he teaches them the truth of God, they stone and kill him. But Acts in chapter 7, it says, Acts 7. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Why did he do that? His mind was, you know, to help them. You know, his mind was that he was going to deliver them. And that's what he says in the next verse. In 25, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. They didn't understand. He wanted them to deliver, and he had the mind that God would help them deliver. But it just wasn't a time, was it? He took this in his own hands rather than being directed by God. Matthew.
So going back to Exodus chapter 3, it says he looked this way and that, and saw stripped on the Egyptian. One of the things my dad told me when I was really young was, if you have to hide to do something, probably. And he's obviously looking around, making sure the legs of Nephi, and he definitely is going to do, I don't know if he bumped him on the head or not, but then he buried him the same. He was obviously hiding what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with what you were just saying, where I don't think this was necessarily God's plan for him to do this.
Right.
He took things into his own hands. God used it in his
providence. Mm-hmm. Using his providence, but like you said, he kind of took this in his own hand. He had the right motive, but it just wasn't God's way. And so here he goes on and says, the next day, it appeared two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, your brethren, why do you do wrong one another? Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed them away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? And so this person, you know, he's not thinking about, Moses is thinking about delivering the people. Is he thinking about deliverance? No, this is a selfish person. He's just thinking of himself, right? He's just thinking of himself. It reminds me of Matthew in 24 and 49, where he tells us to be watchful, begin to eat and drink, and it's strike your fellow servants. I think this is his mindset. He's not thinking about deliverance. That wasn't on his mind. But and if we're not thinking about deliverance, and that is Christ coming, we can get out of our way and start to do some things that are not quite what God's will would be. And so this is, I think, is an example of that. He just did his brother wrong and struck his brother, and then he had an attitude about it and exposed Moses. Who it is that he had to flee. In Hebrews in chapter 11, in verse 24, again, Moses did this by faith. When he began his age, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather not to enjoy the pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, and for he looked for a reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And so by faith, he did this. It's just right motive, but not God's timing. Okay, so after this, he goes down, he goes to Midian, and we know the camp there where it is that the shepherds, daughters are out seeking to water their flock, and he helps them because they're being chased away. They tell the father, an Egyptian delivered us. And so evidently he's still perhaps dressed in Egypt, still looks like an Egyptian. They think he's Egyptian, or perhaps he told them, but they said Egyptian delivered us. And he says, well, where is he? Call him that he may eat bread. And so Moses was content to live him. The man gave him Zipporah, his daughter, and she bore him a son, and he called his name Gershom. I've been a stranger in a foreign land. So he's thinking about his situation. He's away from Egypt. He's away from his people. King of Egypt dies. Doesn't help the Israelites because the next one is just as bad as that one, or maybe even worse. The children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked on the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. But, you know, I imagine some of them might have been thinking, you know, when they're in these hard and heavy burdens, and when it is that they're the Egyptians want to kill their children, they might have been wondering, well, where are you, God? You know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know. But sometimes God, he allows things to happen. Should they have lost faith in God because of these things? More faith in him. And then, of course, they cried out, and their cry came before God. And so that teaches us what? No matter what our situation, continue to pray. Continue to seek God, to seek his will, to seek his help, so that we can be delivered, and God will deliver us. And that's what we'll see in this book, God's deliverance of his people. And then as we go further, we'll see that, kind of lost the gratitude of what God did for them, didn't we? But that's something as far as we never want to lose. We always want to be thankful for what it is that our God does for us. And so, next week, Gail will be back, and he'll help us go on in Genesis in chapter 3 and further. And let's look forward to that. Until then, and just study the book of Exodus as we are in these classes, and just be of that mind as far as to look and see what you can garner out of it and see how God has given us knowledge. Things that we can use today, because as I said, there's an evil and wickedness right around us right today. And be aware that none of that, they don't draw you in into their false science.